Segue, to continue at once with the next musical selection or composition.
Segue, to make a transition directly from one section or theme
Segue,
to another.
To move smoothly and unhesitatingly from one state, situation, condition, or element to another.
Segue, to perform in the manner of the preceding section.
Segue, to make a transition from one thing to another smoothly and without interruption.
This is Segue with Dean Aldemaro Romero, a weekly program exploring the lives and work of the people of the College of Arts and Sciences at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville.
Hello, everybody. Ms. Diane Schrahe was born in East St. Louis, Illinois, and grew up in Caseyville, also in Illinois. She graduated from Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, in 1973 with a bachelor's degree in mass communications, and today she leads a non-profit organization called the Art and Heritage Initiative. Welcome to Segue, Ms. Rahe.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You graduated with a degree in mass communications and now work in the field of the arts. How that transition happen?
Interesting. Well, I started out in radio. I was a copywriter, did that for a couple years, and then had my children, and I was at home. Went into the legal profession for a number of years, and did a very, very short term for a company run by friends of mine in sales. And we knew it was going to be a short term, and after that, I was thinking of retiring. And I was in Amsterdam with a friend and her sister. And her sister was informing me she was a watercolorist. And she thought, she just did it as a hobby, but she thought she could market her work, but she had no idea how to do it, nor did she have the time. And I said, well, I'm retiring. And I did marketing. I did sales. You know, sales and marketing, mm-hmm. whatever it is, whatever the product. So I said, I'll do it. And that's how I got in. And so that was like 15 years ago.
Do you feel that what you learned in the field of mass communication has helped you in this career that you have right now?
Yes. The thing that I learned from SIU was the discipline and how to approach whatever you do, not just in mass comm, but any field that you're in. There's always a learning process. And once you develop that and you're disciplined and get through it, then it's the experience that you gather from that. But SIU gave me the foundation of being organized, being structured. And in mass comm, as I carried out in the arts, you have to be. That's the key to your success, I think, is being organized, getting your thoughts together. And then the creative end will come. But you have to have a strong basis for that and the discipline.
Okay. Well, let's talk now about your current position or area in which you are working, this institution called Art and Heritage Initiative. What is that institution all about?
Well, I met two individuals from Chicago when I was doing an art exhibition in 2006. And the exhibition was on the fall of the Berlin Wall. And during the exhibition, we invited some inner city children to come and view the exhibition. And prior to us taking them through it, we inquired how many had heard of the Berlin Wall. Not one of the children, and they were teenagers, not one of them had heard about the Berlin Wall. And at that same exhibition was one of my business partners. Now she was an art critic, or still is an art critic. And we commented about that, how sad that was. And over the years then, we finally decided that history is an important element in all cultures. And particularly now, when we're so international, there are certain events and cultural events that could be forgotten, but they shouldn't be. So we decided, well, let's form a company and devote it to simply preserving and maintaining cultural and historical events so they wouldn't be forgotten. And then I always think the arts always bring forth events like this in a more intriguing fashion. More people are apt to view it in a theater or a visual art in a gallery are on the screen or in a book as opposed to in a class that they're taking. And so we thought to really put an impact on maintaining and preserving some very important events in the world's history that should never be forgotten. That's why we formed the company.
Well, now that you mentioned the Berlin Wall, which is one of those products of the Cold War,
yes.
Let's move into another product of the Cold War, the U.S.-Cuban relations.
Yes.
And you were in Cuba just a few days ago. And I would like to tell our audience, what was the reason for your trip to Cuba?
I went, originally, the purpose was to go. I had a friend of mine who was looking for a fourth person in her little group to join this group on a people-to-people cultural exchange program through the Grand Circle Foundation. And I'd not really thought of Cuba, to be really honest, and I thought, oh, that could be interesting, because it was centered around a lot of the arts in Cuba and the culture, which, you know, fell right in line with our new company that we just formed. So I decided to go, and I decided to go about a year ago, and I just came back. I was there for 11 days, first part of November. And I just fell in love with the company and the country and the people and their culture, and they're so excited to hear about Americans, anything that you can tell them, and likewise then I was so excited to hear about their culture and what their daily life was like, and it was a terribly interesting experience, and from that I hope to do a lot of things to. I say promote, but mainly to bring attention to a lot of people who haven't had the chance to view what life is like in Cuba. And I sincerely hope the embargo is raised. I mean, it's a country that should be viewed by everybody. It's just beautiful.
Well, and one of the things that you did as soon as you came back from Cuba was contacting us at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville about the possibilities of bringing Cuban art to the United States.
Yes.
So what kind of artistic expression are you planning to bring to this country?
All types. I tell you, one of the things that I notice with Cubans, they are some of the most artistic people I have ever seen in music, in dance. I mean, it's like one of the Cubans said that we have dance in our blood. There's not a Cuban that doesn't dance. And I saw that. They have music. Their art is colorful. It's just beautiful. And I saw a dance performance, went to it, and of course, there's so many dance troupes, thousands of them in Cuba. Went to a theater, and because so many dance troupes, it's difficult for them to find places to practice in. So they practice anywhere they possibly can. Our group was fortunate to view one of the rehearsals of a dance troupe. We appeared in this studio that if it was here in the States, it probably would have been condemned. I mean, there were broken seats, there were ceilings that were starting to collapse. I mean, not the entire outside ceiling, but the panels in the ceiling and that. But you can tell at a time it was a beautiful theater. Well, these young people were fortunate to have acquired this theater for use for practice. They had a black backdrop. And then when they came in, they did have a drop that came down that was white in front of that. There was just nothing but a blank wall, and they had a white screen sheet, actually, that came down. They were all dressed in black, and they rehearsed. They had a gentleman who was their choreographer who was in his late 70s, early 80s. The most beautiful dancing I have ever seen. Ever seen anything just as fine as if it could have been in the most grandest theater? And you look at these young people and you think they should be in a grand theater. They're fabulous. And obviously then afterwards they all want to talk to you, every one of them. I mean, they come off the stage and they talk to you, and you're so excited what a career they could have, what talent they have. That needs to be shared. It just has to be just shared. And so many things, like the artist studios that I went to. And the thing that amazed me with the artist, all artists in Cuba, whatever venue it is, they don't have the supplies like the artists here in America have. They make do what they can find. They have such a passion for what they do, whatever they can find to use to communicate through their art. And it's all just beautiful. I hope that that never leaves. I hope if the embargo raises, I hope it does, and when it does, I hope they don't lose that quality that they can make art out of anything. It's lovely.
Well, in fact, you visited the Museum of Fine Arts.
Yes.
That contains collections of their art from the colonial times all until now, and you can basically say these people really have a passion for the visual arts as well. What was your impression of that museum?
You know, I've been to the Louvre, and at first when I walked in the building, it's like the building was just beautiful. They had a huge stained glass or painting up on the ceiling, and they had some stained glass pieces throughout. It's beautiful, beautiful museum. And then the art collection that they have was astounding, just astounding. I mean, just as enjoyable, like I said, as if you would go to the Louvre in Paris. It was fantastic. And the modern, the contemporary modern art museum, mm-hmm. which is also a part of that, but in a different building, some wonderful works there as well. Really, yeah. Really good.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because you can see how they were kind of Cubanizing the different art tendencies of the time from the colonial times until now, including Cubism and Impressionism,
yes.
and everything else.
Yes.
And it's really interesting.
You know, the thing what I noticed in Cuba, everybody is extremely knowledgeable about arts, and all forms of arts. That's what I use that in the plural sense, just not the visual arts. But that's their life. That's like part of who they are. They just have to participate. They do indeed. It's a country of a passion for the arts is what I found. They're very lovely, passionate people.
Okay, let's move now into a more personal type of impressions. You were with a group of Americans interacting with a lot of Cubans every day. What was your impression about how Cubans interact with Americans, with this country that has been vilified in the political discourse and is obviously the one who has maintained this embargo for now 60 years?
Mm-hmm. They're a loving people. I didn't expect to be greeted that graciously by them, because I thought they probably, you know, we certainly, there's maybe a lot of elements, but we certainly add it to their struggles. America has, they can't get a lot of things. The Cubans, their food's rationed. And I don't know percentage-wise how much, but I venture to say predominantly most of it is because of the embargo. It's difficult for them to get things. We put a great deal of negative struggles into their life. And so I thought to be received by them, I, an American, if somebody had done that to my country and my people, I don't know how gracious I would be, but they were all very gracious. They wanted to know about America. They were interested in it. We visited a coffee farmer, and he had his home and his son's home, and they're very, very modest, plain homes. Concrete walls, concrete flooring, and a tin roof, and just furniture that was necessary, nothing elaborate. And they had a spread of food for us. And I knew from our Cuban tour guide that their food was rationed. They have ration cards. And yet they were willing to share foods. And part of the reason probably why they have ration cards is because of my country. Because they can't get a lot of things in. And yet they're willing to share whatever they can have with me. And that was just everybody. They were so kind and generous. And I also have to say, I thought that they would, that there was more of a, that they wouldn't be free to speak, or their religion they weren't be free to express. They were very open about all of that. They were open about their country. You could ask them anything. They're all very intellectual people, bright people. There's no illiteracy in Cuba. They all go to school, which is a great policy. I mean, it's mandatory they go through high school. And then from there, whether they go to a university or to a trade school, and that's all paid for by the government. So they're very intellectual people, but warm, very, very warm.
Okay. Now, one of those places in which you can really interact with them and also interfaces with your area of interest, which is the arts, is the popular market for the arts in Havana, where you can find dozens and dozens of artists. What was your impression of the naive paintings, for the most part, that you find in that particular market?
You mean in relationship to how they market?
Yeah.
The sad thing is, there again, it's the embargo thing for them. They're dependent upon who come to Cuba and buy their arts or even view their arts. They don't make a great deal of income. And their tourists, tourism is the biggest industry in Cuba. So, you know, they get them from Europe, from Canada, from Mexico. So these people that come in, they probably, from my point of view, not saying that this is how the artists feel, my point of view, probably take advantage of this because they can get some really great paintings for very, very
little money.
Yeah. And the talent that they fly back home with and put on their walls, I mean, it's phenomenal, and they know it. I mean, the people coming in to buy, which is sad, because their talent should be recognized, but they're at the disadvantage too. And that's the only means that they have for marketing. I mean, you hear so much wonderful music, and everybody's selling CDs. Yet the quality of some is very good, some is not, because that's an expense for them. They're dependent on people you have lunch. The tour bus goes, and you have lunch someplace, and someone's playing, and then they walk around for either tips or for selling their CDs. Again, fantastic talent, but look where they must select their venue for their talent and what they must be dependent upon. Certainly the Cubans, I'm sure they purchase art and music as well, but they don't have near the funds that anybody coming in. And for some of them, when they're holding down two jobs to support their family and they can only buy what's on a ration card, that's not an item that they will. Yet they appreciate them. And it is the ballet, when we were in Havana, we thought about going to the ballet one of the evenings, and so we inquired about the price. And contrary to what's here in the States, where if you go to a good ballet troupe, you know, you're going to pay a big price for the tickets.
Yep.
They can go in for just small amounts of pesos. They want everybody to engage in the arts.
And the museums are free. I mean,
yes.
Well,
these wonderful paintings.
Yes.
I mean, they encourage it. That's why the people are so knowledgeable about everything. Yeah.
Well, something's interesting because it reminds me in a way what was happening also is still happening with art from Haiti. Also, naive paintings that you can get extremely cheap just because they will take anything you can offer them.
Yeah.
And that's a sad reality. But on the other hand, you may think, well, that also allows this art to be presented in other venues.
Do you know what I see it as, though? The slice of Cuba that I saw, and I'm forever grateful that I saw this time in history of Cuba. The embargo will be lifted. I have no doubt on that. I don't know when. I hope it's soon, but it will be. When that is lifted, Cuba will see a change in the country. I hope and pray that change will be for the good of Cuba. But that moment right now in Cuba with the artists who do art because of the passion, not because the money they make for their paintings, that's a unique thing. There's a lot of artists in the world outside of Cuba, Europe and here. I'm not saying they're insincere about their art, but would they still, so many of them, still have the passion to do it if they had to take what a Cuban was paid for their talent and art? The value on it isn't important to a Cuban. It's their passion. It's what their calling is to do in life. And they do it the best they can. They perform the best they can. That's their society has allowed them to do that in a sense that they provide it for them in a minimal way. And that to do what they loved was fine. I think too many people lose that and they forget that passion. Cuba has it. And I hope when time changes, that doesn't. And so this right now in Cuba, where they are right now, it's pure. Yeah. It's pure art.
Well, in addition to the embargo, and although the law allows for cultural exchanges between both countries, what do you think are the major obstacles in order to do the kind of things you are promoting, like bringing art and artists from Cuba to the United States?
It's odd because it's interesting here in the States when I represent artists and I deal with people, even in Berlin. I'm working with a photographer from Berlin. I can talk to him whenever I want to. I can email back and forth whenever. I can visit him whenever I want to, and he can visit me whenever I want to. And so working on projects together, there's nothing in the way of communicating and working, sitting down and working with him on projects. Can't do that with Cuba. I can't pick up the phone and call. Or I guess I can, but I've been told that it's an expense. I can't go visit and work on projects whenever I want to. I have to have a reason as an American to leave and go visit someone in Cuba, and that has to be approved of that reason. And there are limited reasons of why I can go to Cuba. And vice versa, if I'm working with an artist from Cuba and I want him to come and work on a project or curate works of art in a gallery or something, I must get permission. I must invite him and get permission for him to enter. So it's very difficult to work. And you can email back and forth. It's an interesting thing. I have another individual that I email back and forth in Cuba that is nothing on a professional level, just a friendship that I developed while I was there. And I just received an email from him just the other day saying, here's my new email. I can't use this other one anymore. He says, this happens periodically, so this might happen again. You know, and well, we're just not used to things like that in the U.S.
Do you think that the kind of cultural exchanges that you are promoting, that you're working on, can help in some way to improve the political complicated relations between the U.S. and Cuba?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the only way. Or the fastest way I think the embargo will come down is if you can get as many Americans to go into Cuba and see what it's like and see what these people are like, and vice versa. I wish they probably won't be as amazed at our citizens as I was with theirs. But to see these lovely people and see what we did, our country did this to them, and for no reason. Well, there was a reason, but that's kind of like obsolete now. If we wanted to do that, we should set up the embargoes with everybody and just keep us all right here in the U.S. Why go any further? And that's not what the world is about. The embargo needs to end, and I think more people going over there, the more they're going to see what this culture, how lovely and beautiful, and what this culture has to give to the world, and importantly enough, Cuban can still do that, but they must do it to the U.S. because they have a lot that we could benefit from.
Okay. Let's assume for a minute that the embargo gets lifted, 2013, 2014. What do you think is going to happen in the cultural realm between the U.S. and Cuba?
Well, I think trade will start instantly. I really do. There's a lot that I can see that the Americans will want to come in and do in Cuba. The good side of that is Cuba has a lot of decay, I would say. They've not had the funds to maintain some of the most beautiful buildings I've seen. I mean, Cuba's lovely with these buildings. If indeed the embargo is lifted, I can see that American companies maybe will come in and take over some of these beautiful buildings and maintain them and preserve them. That would be very good. I hope, though, that because of that, we don't Americanize Cuba. I would never want to see that. And that I would be afraid of. To help the country that I feel we've set back, that's justified. But don't change Cuba. That was done to them in history before, wasn't it? By
yes.
the Spaniards. So yes. let's not repeat that.
Yes.
And I hope the Cubans keep a handle on us.
Well, there is an example to follow in certain ways. It's the case of Bermuda, which is a British colony still. They don't have the restrictions for anything, but they have stopped the commercialization in the American way of their commerce. You don't see McDonald's or Burger King's or anything of that sort. They maintain their culture and their sense of history to that place.
Yeah. That would be good. You know, I don't want to. Cuba's beautiful. I mean, you can just, I wish I could have seen it maybe, before the embargo. I wish I could have been there then. But the places are, you can still see what it was. You just see that there's a, in between buildings that, you know, need some loving care. And I just don't, on a political level, I don't want to see American take it over.
Okay.
I don't want that at all.
In the minute and a half that we have left, what do you expect to accomplish next year, 2013, or the current year in which this show is being broadcast, in terms of cultural exchanges between Cuba and Southern Illinois University?
Oh, big things, big things. I hope to have, starting as soon as possible in 2013, to bring some of these beautiful Cuban arts and the photography of their history and that to Edwardsville. I also hope that this entire, and then take various exhibitions, hope to do like maybe four projects in 2013 on an art and theater and music level, bringing it to SIUE, and then taking it to other venues across the U.S. It would just be thrilling if this would be part of something to get the us Americans to realize what their culture is like and be instrumental to get this embargo.
Okay, well, I hope that you're right and that you're going to be successful, because I think culture in general and also faculty and students at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville can benefit from that. Thank you very much to Ms. Diana Schrahe for talking about her recent visit to Cuba. And next week, we are going to have Alex Moore, a theater education student at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, who will be talking about becoming a theater teacher. So stay tuned.
This has been Segway with Dean Aldemaro Romero, a production of the Department of Mass Communications at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. All rights reserved, 2013.